former NHL agent, GM, top draft pick, now analyst in the National Hockey League, Brian Lawton joins us once again. Brian, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you?
Doing very well. You know, a lot of teams have, you know, and a reclamation project, I guess, is a term. You know, teams have taken a chance on a guy after he's flamed out in other situations. And, you know, the Cassian one's a little unique because he's 24 years of age and, you know, already out of rehab. But I thought it was a low-risk move because if it doesn't work out, oh, well, you didn't give up a whole bunch. Do you think Zach Cassian will make his way back to being an NHL regular player?
Well, obviously, that's the $64 million question. I hope he does, Jason. I'm certainly pulling for him. I know Zach. I interviewed him for the draft in 2009. Obviously, saw him play quite a bit in junior, followed his career, the good and the bad. And I can't say, you know, with any real certainty that he will, but I will say that I hope he does.
Yeah, Brian, it's always a tricky one because we've seen players as talented, maybe more talented than Zach Cassian, not make it. Whenever you bring a substance abuse problem into it, it complicates things. Clearly, he can play in this league when he's right, but that's a great big wild card, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And if you dive deep down into the problems and how do they manifest themselves in a player, you know, for me, when I watch Zach, it ends up, some of the off-ice things end up showing up in the lack of discipline. And if you follow the career, it's gone back quite a ways, mm-hmm. right? Everybody remembers what happened in Windsor after he got traded there. So, you know, it's a tough one. It's a bold move on a day with a lot of bold moves. And this obviously didn't transpire today, but we are talking about it. It's a bold move, but it's a low-risk move for Peter Chiarelli and the Oilers.
Some interesting moves today. Speaking of, do they have anything left? Vinny LeCavalier. You know, the Kings, it's really kind of a rental early in January. His agent and Dean Lombardi, everybody's admitted he's going to retire at the end of the season, so it's kind of a last hurrah. You think he has much left to offer?
Well, first off, as the player admitted, he's going to retire at the end of the season. What would happen if he didn't, Jason?
I don't know. And I don't know if legally, maybe you would know this, Brian. Could you get that written somewhere stating, yes, this trade is made on the contingents that Vinny retires at the end of the season so they don't have the $4.5 million cap hit? Could you make that part of the deal?
No, you can't.
Okay, I didn't think so, but
yeah, there's nothing wrong with them talking about it.
Sure.
It being a plan. And I'm being a little bit facetious, but yeah, sure, it's entirely possible that Vinny changes his mind after the season, in which case, if it had been myself as the general manager, I certainly would have had the assurance, if it is part of the deal as it's been represented, that, oh, by the way, Ron, I'll be calling you if that happens, and you'll be getting the player back. But you can't have that agreement out in front, because we don't do that anymore. We used to do that in the old warm and fuzzy NHL, where general managers would make trades and then try to help their buddies get ahead in the league and then take the player back after the season. So it's all hypothetical, but I would like to think that it's that contingency has been at least discussed by both teams.
Brian, let's jump back to, I guess you could call it a reclamation project, like Cassian.
Brian, we got to get to this because it's big enough, but Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones straight up just happened. What do you think?
I think that is outstanding for both organizations. I had a feeling after Nashville threw up 40-plus shots last night and could not win, really got waxed by Winnipeg, at least on the scoreboard, that was a possibility today. I think it's a fantastic move for the Columbus Blue Jackets. I think it's a good move for the Nashville Predators. I am a huge Seth Jones fan. I'll never understand for the life of me why the Lightning didn't take him third, and that certainly is its own story in itself, but I think this is a great move for the Columbus Blue Jackets and a good move for the Nashville Predators because they are desperately seeking offense.
That's interesting, Brian. Would it be fair to characterize Ryan Johansson as the better player right now, but Jones the real wild card with what people see he might become?
I think that absolutely is fair. Now we have to get into philosophy, and my philosophy is that you build your team in both directions from the blue line. That means that I always placed in the past when we drafted Victor Hedman more value on a defenseman that can play 23 at a minimum and 28 at a maximum, because I think Seth Jones has that type of potential to give you those ranges of minutes on a nightly basis. Makes him more valuable than a Ryan Johansson, who we all know has a 73-point season under his belt. Pretty valuable first-line center, you know, really going to be a leader by a long, long amount for the Nashville Predators down the middle. So, you know, I think it's good, but for me, the real value is in what you can't find. The Edmonton Oilers have Teddy Purcell on their team, who we traded for in Tampa out of L.A., and, you know, we basically got a third-round pick to take Teddy for Jeff Halpern. That was effectively the trade. Teddy was a guy we felt could throw some points up on the board, score that 50 to 65 points, which he's done fairly regularly. And on the other side of the coin, we're looking at drafting players at that time, and we're looking at a guy like Victor Hedman going, we can't find guys that can play 25 minutes a night for us and be good. That's what Seth Jones is. He's that guy. He's their number one D. Jack Johnson, forget it. Not half as good as Seth Jones.
Wow. Just quickly to go where I was going to go before this trade broke, what do you think of Mike Richards to Washington?
I think it's a very calculated move by Brian McClellan. It's all about cup or bust this year for Washington. They think they have the squad. They've flown under the radar for most of the first half of the season. Everybody has certainly taken notice the last 30 days, but they have a very strong team. I don't see why they can't get out of the East. And, you know, a guy like Mike Richards is really bringing one important critical component to the Washington Capitals, and that is more guys that have won the Stanley Cup that have that pedigree. We heard today Justin Williams had a lot of say into that, and I'm not surprised. They're looking for guys that are winners. Mike Richards is a winner. That's the long narrative. The short narrative is I didn't like the level of play he was giving the Kings his last time out, certainly over the previous, you know, 6 months of play.
Brian Lawton joins us. Brian, you mentioned earlier if you were in Tampa at the time, you would have taken Seth Jones over Jonathan Drouin, a big defenseman over a small winger, and I would totally agree with you on that front. What do you make of the Tampa situation? Now, Marty St. Louis was different because, of course, it was the Olympics, and Steven Stamkos hasn't been re-signed and, you know, might be the biggest free agent in, you know, when we think finances, maybe in the history of the National Hockey League, and now another skilled guy in Jonathan Drouin. Is this a coaching miscommunication with his skilled players? What do you see here?
I would say that this, to me, absolutely is more of a coaching issue with these players. I think that John Cooper has the complete support of Steve Yzerman and the rest of the management staff. But, you know, really when these types of things happen, and it hasn't been portrayed enough, so I'm glad you brought it up, but I think it's more of a conflict, you know, between the player and the coaching staff. I spoke to one of Jonathan's agents, not Alan Walsh, who's his primary agent and is on his way back from Helsinki. And, you know, it just seemed like there was a belief from the player that there's a lack of confidence in him. And players are different now. It's not like it was 20 years ago where if that's what it was, that's what it is. Nowadays, you know, players are much more confident. It's a different generation. The players have to be handled differently. Doesn't matter if you like it or don't like it, agree with it or don't agree with it. You have to handle players differently. I'll never forget Brian Berhart when he wasn't playing early on in his career. And Brian went to my high school, also a first pick like myself. And he just thought it was brutal that the coach wasn't playing him. Now, Brian and I are about 10 years apart, and that was the difference in attitude. You know, it was just completely, yeah, this is brutal. I can't believe they don't play me more. Well, keep that evolution going to where today's players are. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm just saying that is the environment that these guys are dealing with. Players are much more confident, and coaches have to be aware of that. And the guys that are really doing a great job absolutely understand it, accept it, and deal with it in a positive way.
But, Brian, you've sat in that GM's chair while you've been in all the shoes. You've been a player. I understand what you're saying, but if he wants to move, once it gets out, it makes it much more difficult to get what you want done, doesn't it?
Right, it does. And what I'm saying is I don't necessarily agree with it. It doesn't matter if I agree or don't agree. It's just the circumstances that you have to deal with and you have to maneuver. I think that Steve Yzerman will figure out a way to deal with it. I mean, people forget when I was in Tampa, Marty St. Louis approached me about a trade request. I dealt with it differently at the time. I dealt with it privately and went right to the source. It was the New York Rangers and Glenn Sather. Glenn was very emphatic. He knew absolutely nothing about it. Him and I worked through with it, dealt with it, and it went away very quickly. You know, nowadays things get turned public a lot more quickly, and they're much more challenging. But that was the way we dealt with it. And, you know, Jonathan Drouin, I can imagine that the Lightning are not very happy to wake up one day and read that. You know, but it's a problem that is not going to go away, and I think it has to be addressed at some time. And Steve Yzerman, as much as any general manager in the National Hockey League, has the full support of his ownership to do what he sees fit. I think that's great. You still have to come up with a solution at the end of the day for it, though. And I don't know what that is right now.
Brian, I got a question for you. Ryan Johansson, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, who do you think is more valuable?
Ryan Johansson.
So you would have traded Nugent Hopkins for Seth Jones?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for your Edmonton.
I love Ryan. I think he's an awesome person, and I think he's a tremendous player. But yes, as far as I would stand behind what I just said, I would build my team from the blue line in both directions. And, you know, I mean, you're hearing more about comparisons lately between Edmonton and Florida. And really the big difference is that they found a way to get a couple of D into their high picks.
Yeah.
Obviously in Ekblad and Gumberson, and that's had a real positive effect. I'm not sure I 100% agree with that yet, but I'm certainly not opposed to it. And you're asking me about Ryan, and I'm telling you Seth Jones, to me, the concept of that defenseman that can give you 25-plus minutes a night is more valuable than particularly when you add in a Connor McDavid, a guy that's probably going to be your number two center.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with you. And in fact, you got Leon Draisaitl and McDavid. I said it last week. I would have done it. People were like, not for Seth Jones. And I was like, plus he's a right shot. The Oilers don't have right shot defenseman. Brian, I love talking hockey with you. We appreciate it. Busy day. Lots happening. So good timing. We'll do it again soon.
Lots happening, guys. Thank you very much for having me on.